And stand by for the snow show.
Initialize sequence now.
The snow show. Tom Fricke and Leon Littlebird.
We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good.
Initiate snow show sequence.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Roger, copy. 3, 2, 1.
Snow show.
Okay.
Okay, I promise I won't say anything about that.
Okay,
even
we won't
though that's
talk
my
about
favorite
that.
Story.
We won't talk about that here on the Colorado Snow Show. Welcome to another episode. Tom Fricke and Leon Littlebird hanging out at Arapahoe Basin with some cool people today.
And, well, you know, we had been calling it the No Snow Show this year, but it's snowing today at Arapahoe
yes.
Basin. And as we were walking through the parking lot, it looked like about 6 inches. In the parking lot.
Fresh pow, and then the sun's
fresh
coming
pow.
Out tomorrow and over the weekend. It'll be back to springtime.
Well, we should be out on the boards on the chairlift right now because we're talking to one of my favorite people in the whole world, Becky McDill. Hi, sweetheart. How you doing?
Good, Leon. Good, Tom. It's nice to be here with you both today.
Well, we feel really honored that we get to be with the first female ski school director of Arapahoe Basin. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's been you've been here for a long time, and you've earned this directorship the real way. You earned it by performance. It feel good?
It does feel good. I've really appreciated the team that I've worked with and am working with today over the years that I've been here. And Arapahoe Basin is a special spot for me.
Oh, yeah.
With the entire team. So
yeah.
Happy to be in this new role and helping lead the school and be a part of leading the mountain as well.
Well, and you've got some really good people working for you. And the nice thing is, you had been assistant director before, so you got to work with these folks before, and so you trained them. You had them ready to go.
Or maybe they trained me. I'm not sure.
Well, like, probably, that's probably more the case. Yeah, I think it's probably why you got the job. Well, we certainly had an interesting winter, didn't we? I mean, we had some really warm days, and the snow didn't come. We kept saying all year, it's going to snow. It's going to snow, and then it never really did.
Except for today.
Yeah, right now it's beautiful out there. Winter has arrived.
It's cold, too.
So
it's going to stay, you know, until tomorrow when it's 60 degrees again.
Well, Becky, we had you on the original Crystal 93 snow show all those years ago.
That you did, yep. I vaguely remember the conversation, but I do remember appearing on the snow show and sitting here. Actually, we were outside with the two of you at that point.
I was going to say, and we might have even been on skis, I think, that
probably
day.
Probably were.
Up on the mountain, yeah.
Because that's what we always did with the old snow show.
It's called skiing, not standing.
And we did a lot of that.
Yeah, we did a lot of that. This year, not so much.
No.
But it's really cool because we just won best podcast of the year.
Congratulations.
Yeah. It's
thanks.
All Tommy's fault.
Recognized by the Colorado Broadcasters Association. Yeah,
We've been interviewing a lot of really cool people. We've had Ross Anderson. Do you know who he is? He's the fastest American speed skier, 154 miles an hour. But he's also the Europeans now are a little quicker. I think they've got to 160 or something. But he's also the fastest full-blooded Native American skier. How about that?
Look at that.
So we had him on the show, and that was really cool. And then we had your old buddy, Bert Skull.
Bert from Taos.
Bert from Taos.
Yeah.
Who was Bert? It was Bert and I that hired you here, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah.
You know, I remember when Bert told me that he was talking to you. I would come to work and Bert and I'd go ski in the morning before we got started. And we called that the board meeting. We put slap on the boards and get on the lift. And he goes, guess who I'm talking to about? You know, who? Becky McDill. It's like, man, put golden handcuffs on that girl.
Where were you before, Becky?
Keystone.
Keystone, but I started in the industry in Crested Butte.
Yes, and I remember when you started in Crested Butte, you were still in Western State College.
I was. I had just graduated, and so moving into actually wanting to hang out with my peers and do some solid skiing for the winter in between what was going to be my, I guess, moving off into my professional life, which I hadn't put much thought into. And so I spent that first winter up in Crested Butte, Leon, where I had the opportunity to meet you.
That was your first clinic, wasn't it?
It was my first clinic, and it was Extreme Guest Services, if
yeah,
I remember
yeah.
right.
Right, yeah.
And it actually got my career kicked off with understanding guest services and how important guests are.
See, Tom, I got
staff,
to be part
so,
of that. How
yeah.
cool is that? Huh?
Extreme guest service. Well,
extreme guest service.
Yeah. Well, extreme. It was extreme skiing back then. It wasn't big mountain.
Yeah, it was extreme skiing.
So extreme was the hot word back then.
For Crested Butte especially.
Crested Butte. That's where we were doing all that stuff up there that was gnarly stuff that, the Crested Butte's got some really fantastic places to do extreme skiing.
Absolutely.
And the cool thing that Becky and I have in common all these years later is that she was with a bunch of her friends in that clinic that she knew, so I gave everybody a new name, remember? And I had the names in a hat, and they each drew a name out of the hat, and she drew the name
Ziska.
To this day, I call her Ziska.
Anytime I see
and
Becky, that's all I think
of. I couldn't remember
Ziska.
Any of the names of anyone else in that clinic, but yeah. So when you first got engaged to Scott, I had to tell him your name was Ziska.
That's right, because that's how you knew me from our
it's
clinic
like,
together.
Ziska, and he looks at me like. What? Well, you'll always be Ziska to me.
So,
and I'm really the only one that gets to call you that too.
Yes, yeah, because you're the only one that really knows me by that name.
Yep.
So that would make sense. So.
Well, that was fun all those years ago in Crested Butte, with Dogger and Charlie Farnan, and you got off to a pretty illustrious start.
I did, yeah. I had a really great group to work with in Crested Butte that got me a really good foundation to move into the industry with, the ski and ride industry and the winter sports. And from there, just had great mentors and wonderful folks along
the way. Who was
the
ski school director back then? It wasn't Farnan yet, was it?
It was Charlie.
It was Charlie, mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I guess that's right, because Charlie helped me ride all that stuff. Because, I started doing training for the ski school at Crested Butte when Roble was still the ski school director.
Ah, yeah, it was Charlie when
and
I was
And then
there.
It was Roble, and then there was Jean Pavillier. And, or as the boys up there used to call him, Jean Pavillard. Jean Pavillard. And then it was Charlie. So, yeah, it was Charlie back then.
Great history at Crested Butte. Well, talk about A-Basin, ski school here. What are you doing with this whole outfit?
With this whole outfit
this
here?
This whole outfit, yeah.
I've had great directors before me, so keeping the good things that we've done through with the team before me. This season, we focused a bit in on our children's programs again, helping our staff get them all trained up and built up our Kids Club Arapahoe. On top of that, we were offering clinics for adults. We had some clinic offerings on Mondays and Fridays. Mondays more towards being on-piste and Fridays being off-piste. So looking to engage our adult guests into the ski and ride school a bit more as well. And
the kids program here is, I'm really proud of it because I don't know if I've ever told you this story, Becky, but when Bert hired me, I was the first one he hired when he became the director. And Alan and Peggy wanted to know why they were going to pay me so much money. and so I came for the interview and loaded for bear to show them what I had done with Copper Mountain and all the other places in Crete and Crested Butte. And so I said to them, this is back in the old days. The ski school is nothing like it is now. I mean, Bert transformed it, And I said, well, I have a vision of having a world-class kids center here because kids bring their parents. And if you grow up skiing at Crested Butte like I or at A-Basin like I did, it's your home. And it'll always be your favorite ski area. And, it'll be the place that where you belong. And Peggy said, we send our kids' lessons down to Keystone.
Wow.
That's where the ski school was at that time. Can you believe it? And now here we are in the kids' center that was our vision. Bert and I built this, actually. I feel real proud of the fact that we started this whole idea. And now how many thousands of kids have learned to ski here since then? You know, mm-hmm. When Lisa and I first got together, she had Riley's report card that we designed on the refrigerator, right, with his nickname Squirrel. You know, and he was with Paul. And he was saying, you know, all the, and I was so proud of that, you know, it was when we first started dating, and it's like, I designed that report card. It's cool, huh?
It is cool. Very cool.
Well, yep. And this weekend, today and tomorrow, you've got the Summit Telefest going on. So teleskiing lives at Arapaho Basin.
Teleskiing is alive. Yes.
Yay.
Yeah. We have a great crew out there dropping their knee, making their tele turns. And today it was really fun to look up on the hill at one point. And between Sundance and high noon, I saw teleskiers.
Yeah, neat.
Yeah, that was the representation. I actually didn't see an alpine person coming down at that moment in time. So
awesome.
It was really fun to see them out there.
It's so fun to tele. It's, you know, when you first start to get it. And Tommy and I, you know Doug Cicada, don't you, from Copper Mountain?
I think I've met Doug a couple times.
Yeah, and you know he took us out teleing when we. And I had done it many years ago, leather boots, three-pin bindings, you know, at Crescent Butte with Penelope Street and that whole gang.
Oh, wow.
And then I kind of quit because I could never make those leather boots. You know, it wasn't like alpine skiing. And so then when they came out with the plastic boots and the new bindings, it's like, so we got to get back into this. So it was one of the coolest things we ever did.
Yeah. And our good buddy Tim Stroh is doing some tele lessons here with the Ski and Ride School.
And I've recorded 3 albums at his studio.
Yeah. Everybody has multiple talents in the ski industry.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, you do.
You know, you have to have 5 jobs just to live up here. So, and your husband, Scott McDill, is the Rossignol rep. And I'm sure he's busy.
Yep, has had a busy winter. Yep. Keeping the stoke alive, keeping the skis on folks' feet, and cruising around.
Rossignol has such a great presence in World Cup skiing.
Yeah, they do.
You know, I mean, they're right there all the time. You know, it's really cool to see. And, you know, we grew up skiing on Rossies. You know, Stratos was the big ski back in the day. And the French skis, Dina Meeks, Rossignol, you know, that was when you were cool.
Yeah. Very cool.
You had to be very cool.
I wasn't cool.
I don't think you were cool until we got a hold of you.
Yeah, I'm still working on it. It's a work in progress. So bear with us, Becky Williams. I'm still trying to be cool.
How many kids do you think you have in Kids Club?
Ooh, good question. I got enough to keep my team going.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, yep.
That's
and to have
enough.
The kids all, you know, meet new friends and build fellow skiing relationships. But it was one of our best seasons.
Oh, good.
Yep, this year since probably pre-COVID. So we had a great group of guests that joined us this year. So
it was COVID that ended my teaching career, you know. Do you remember that incident? My last private lesson was a guy from China who was coughing. And I wouldn't sit next to him on the lip. Because back in those days, well, it was 5 days before the COVID closed the ski industry, right? And in those days, we thought if you got COVID, you were going to die.
Yeah.
Right? Remember, we were all, and then with my history of leukemia and stuff, I was like, oh, I can't get COVID, you know, it'll kill me. And so this guy's like coughing, and we had a great lesson. It worked out fine. He reaches in his pocket and pulls out a tip, and I was like, oh, no, you're going to have to tip me. I wasn't going to touch the money. So I walked right in. Gates was director. Then I walked in and said, that's it. I quit.
Well, the springtime is always bringing some changes to not just the terrain, but operations. And that changes how you work at the Ski and Ride School. What's your strategy heading into the springtime, Becky?
Strategy into the springtime? Well, we start to transition from our Ski and Ride School and start thinking about the Aerial Adventure Park. Charlie Morgan, our senior manager, and myself run our Aerial Adventure Park here at Arapaho Basin. So right now in this transition, part of the season, we're starting the hiring for the park and starting to unwind the Ski and Ride School. So unfortunately, saying our farewells to our winter team, looking forward to having them all back next year and looking to welcome on our summer team into the park.
And do you have any winter team that makes a transition to the summer team?
We do. We have a handful of folks that work specifically with the ski and ride and the aerial park.
That's so cool because you've got a year-round job.
Yeah.
And you get some breaks in between. So cool.
Aerial park, it seems like it's growing almost every time I see what's going on there. It's like, oh, there's a new feature.
We did make some changes in my time in the park, where we used to have what we called true blues or self-repels at the end. We changed that up to add in some zip lines a few summers ago. And then at the far end, we added, basically zip lines is what we added to end the features.
We got to come up and do that.
Summertime fun.
It is so fun.
We should do a summer version called the No Snow Show.
We could do that.
We'll put you both up in the park together.
Yeah, that'd be great. We'd love that.
I want to hit the bike trails. I know there's been a lot of improvement on the downhill course and the bike trails all around A-Basin over the past couple of years.
Beautiful. The trails are beautiful. Travel through obviously beautiful country. It's fun to see what you ski in the winter to what it looks like in the summer.
So different.
And the trails team has just done a great job.
And you look at it
and
can't believe you skied over that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, look at those rocks. We skied over that.
Hey, wait, there's some of my P-Tex on that one rock over there.
You know, the one that always blows my mind is Hallelujah Bowl in Copper.
Oh, man.
You look at that in the summer, you go, we were skiing that all winter. I mean, the rocks are huge.
Massive rocks there.
Well, you know, Tommy got himself one of those real high-tech electric mountain bikes. So he's biking a lot. I can't keep up with him. I mean, he just hits the switch and he's gone.
It's basically the
motorcycle
for riding uphill. I mean, the downhill's just as fast as any other mountain biker. There's no speed increase there. And I take it really slow. But uphill, you don't have to ride the chairlift. You can just ride your bike up the hill, which is such a benefit. And I love doing that.
Do you use the boost? Do you have the boost gear?
No, I don't have the it's a class one e-mountain bike. So it's just pedal assist. It only works when you're pedaling. There's no boost or throttle or anything that can kick it in or anything. So it's basically just like a regular mountain bike, except you don't have to basically get this cardio workout at the climb that you didn't want to have.
that kills me these days. You know, I used to live for that. You know, the climb was my favorite part, and especially real technical climbs on mountain bikes. But, you know, the descent was the payoff for the investment that you had put in to climb, you know. And when people started taking chairlifts up, I always said, no, that's cheating. But, you know, now that I'm older, I'm not that badass anymore. So,
Same here. Just got to give
into it. I'd ride the chairlift up and then just cruise down. No
just
problem.
Give into it.
Well, Becky, it's so great to see you, darling. And we should really be out on the snow doing this, traditionally. But it just, Tom and I kind of bagged it today because it was cold.
Like I said, winter has found its way back.
Yeah.
And it was cold out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not used to that this year.
No, Mother Nature spoils us, gives us nice, warm, spring-like weather. You know, there's starting to be some flowers in bloom and
a
little
I've got
grass
flowers in my yard. The dandelions have come up. And there's nothing better than spring skiing at A-Basin.
Stick around. The snow show continues.
Let's talk with the big guy, the chief operating officer at Arapahoe Basin, Alan Hensroth, is joining us on the
Welcome
snow show.
Welcome to the show, Alan.
Hey, great to be here. Good to see you guys.
Great to have you here.
Yeah.
Man. It's great to hang out in the 6th Alley.
We're in the 6th Alley. Yeah. Looking outside. It's snowing.
It's snowing. How cool is that?
Must be late April.
Must be.
You know, this is the time of year that normally we're skiing the most.
Yeah.
Because it's, normally this time of year the mountain would be 100% open. There'd be fresh snow, nice weather.
We'd be at our peak right now.
Yeah.
Other year, yeah.
But this year, in fact, we changed the name of the show to the No Snow Show. So, it's been a challenging year for everybody, but I think the basin's done a good job. I think you guys have really kept it going. And
I think our team did, they did the very best they could all the way along. And, all season long, but what I've been saying is you can't complain about what's open. We've had some really good skiing, considering it's been such a light snow year. So, you know, we've managed to have some fun. Absolutely. Get some people smiling. Yeah. But, you know, I look forward to, sure look forward to next year.
You know, it's interesting. every time I run into a local, you know, like comes to one of our gigs or something, and I say, oh, we skied the basin today. You know, how was it? It was good.
Yeah.
You know, so...
You act like you're surprised that you heard that.
Well, you know, I was, because I was like, oh, I should have gone.
Yeah, you should have gone. You should have
gone. Where were you?
I should have been there. And then, you know, we had a little snow a few days ago, and you know, I heard it was like butter out there.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I skied yesterday morning, and we reported 8 inches new on Wednesday, and... it was winter snow. I was skiing perfect corduroy, soft winter stuff.
Well, and today it's feeling like winter.
It is winter. It's like 8 degrees on the summit right now. So, but back to the team. You know, it's been a lean snow year, but between our groomers and our snowmakers and the lift team and the patrollers, everybody's been just going all out, trying to make whatever we have as good as we possibly can. And, you know. In a lean year, sometimes you work harder. Everything's more difficult than when you have lots of snow and all the pistons are firing. So
I was just going to say that, you know, this year, they'll remember this year as a year they had to really work hard.
Exactly. So all of us that have been around a little while, we got a couple of those marks to this winter and that winter.
Well, you know, we in the beginning of the season, what I'll talk about 76, 77. You know, that was the year it didn't snow. And, you know, and that's when snowmaking got kicked in. And,
I think I was 15 or 16 then. Leo.
Yeah. Well, I was 27.
I graduated from high school in 76.
You know, and what we did at Crested Butte that year, there was no snow at the bottom of the run, so they paid us to take hay bales up and put straw down so you could ski down to about 100 yards before the bottom, then you had to walk down on straw. Instead of walking in mud, in the rocks. But this year we surpassed it. We beat it. We had less snow this year than that year. So.
Well, on a low snow year like this year, I'm sure you found new ways to do things.
Oh, we did find new ways to do things. And, first of all, thank goodness for snowmaking.
Yes.
You know, that really carried a lot of people through. Let people have fun. Let people keep working. You know, let the business kind of limp by. Better than sitting on the sidelines. And but we learned a lot of good things like we do. You know, we got a great snowcat driving team, and they were using every trick in the book, plus a few more. So,
I thought about that a lot. It's like, you have to farm snow.
Oh, yeah, we did a lot of farming. And we're farming now in the spring.
Yeah.
Consolidating trails, keeping the trails alive. And,
that's a real art in itself.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Knowing where to get it and where to push it.
You know, those operators, they're somewhere between a craftsman, really, and a fine artist with the stuff they do.
Or a magician, maybe.
Or a magician,
Well, they have an amazing strategy going into it, too, making the piles and knowing when and where to spread them out. And
exactly.
It's an amazing talent.
And where there's a little honey pocket of snow and a little hollow and ways to stretch it out, it's great to watch them work.
So going back over the season, what was your favorite day on the hill?
I couldn't even tell you when the dates were, but we did have some good snow. We had a couple storms in
absolutely
10, 12 inches, and I got a face shot or two along the way.
So nice.
I always make sure on those snow days I'm out there checking things out first thing, making sure it's good enough for our guests.
Well, that's your responsibility.
That's my duty.
To test the product.
Yeah, I think I took an oath for that.
and the higher you go, the better the snow.
Always.
That's right.
Always, that's right.
Well,
ski above all.
There'll still be some skiing here at the basin this spring.
Yeah.
So, you know, in spring skiing at the basin is kind of famous. I mean, it's the place.
It's the best.
Usually the last one to close. So.
Yeah.
Open and the last to close.
And we got the beach. We got the deck at Black Mountain Lodge. We got Lake Reveal. It's
How is Lake Reveal looking this season?
You know, it still hasn't poked its head yet.
Really? I thought with all the warm weather that we had, it would have made a showing. But yeah. Not yet.
Okay. I keep checking every day.
I'm sure.
And we've had some warm weather.
Yes,
we have. It has been. I mean, when it's 60 degrees down valley, it's...
Yeah, boy, those... You know, there's a couple weeks there in March, and actually for us there was three or four days.
Well, it didn't freeze overnight.
That were amazing. You know, I've never seen it that warm that early.
Yeah, 40 degrees at night.
Yeah. You know, since then it's stayed pretty cool up here, and there was a pretty significant melt there in March, but we've been kind of neutral the last two or three weeks.
Good.
So, you know, I hope it stays cool. I hope we keep getting these snowstorms and keep the skiing alive as long as we can for everyone.
As long as we can. Nobody's talking about any kind of a closing date at this point.
We're not talking about closing yet.
Well, okay. Especially with days like today when it's snowing.
I'm not talking about closing.
No.
Because it's actually snowing today. I mean, this is actually snowing.
Yeah. It's a winter snowstorm today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Winter weather advisories and everything, just like the middle of January, like it was supposed to be.
You know, speaking of Lake Reveal, I was with some old-time local ski guys a couple weeks ago. And we had the trivia question if they knew why Lake Reveal was named Lake Reveal. And all of them thought it because it reveals itself. And it was like,
it's a person. Yeah. It's John Reveal.
Yeah. Well, it would kind of be who you are now back then, right?
Yeah. You know, when Ralston bought A Basin in 1978, he was the guy they put in charge here. And, you know, he's an amazing figure in the ski industry. And he... had a lot of stops along the way in Keystone and A Basin, Aspen, Yellowstone Club.
He was a good guy.
He's a really good guy. And he...
That was still when people would camp out in the parking lot.
Yeah, you know, that's right. That's when you were camping in the parking lot.
I never had to do that because I'm a local boy, you know. So, but I sure knew a lot of guys, you know, and I'd certainly go into their campers and have a beer or something,
sure.
You know.
A few years ago, John shared a bunch of photos with me. And when, again, in 1978, when Ralston bought it, A Basin, they kind of treated it like a scrape-off, and they got rid of all the lifts except for the Lenawee Double and took down some buildings and just kind of cleaned up everything. And John had a bunch of photos, and he shared them with me. And it's really cool to look at. And you can pick out the same tree.
Sure.
And
the Norway lift was, still running. And
yeah.
And it was, you could grow a beard on that lift.
We got some photos up. Yeah. But it's cool to, see where all, because lifts have been in different places over time. There were a bunch of Palma lifts here at one time.
Well, that's what Leon was telling me before we started the episode, is
there were three lifts right here.
It's a lot different down here.
I'm looking out at Exo Trail where Black Mountain Express is. There's some photos in the A-frame on the wall that show two double chairs and a pommel lift going up Exhibition Trail.
I rode all three of those lifts.
Yeah, at the same time.
All in the same run. My alter ego on the other two. But we used to take the pommel lift up, and then it would go to Radical, and then there was a pommel that went up at Radical.
To the top of Poly.
And that pommel, Alan, had this, the springs, you could, and when it came around, you could yank it down and extend the spring, and then it would launch you.
Yeah.
And Dogger and I, when we were teenagers, you know, that was our big thing.
You guys weren't horsing around, were you?
Oh, yeah.
No, you're not supposed to do that on
this. And then there used to be a cabin in CB Flats, you know.
Yeah.
And would jump off that roof, but the landing was dead flat.
Oh, yeah. That's probably why the roof's caved in on that cabin.
Yeah, you guys, probably because we skied over it.
You guys are horsing around again.
Horsing around.
Damn kids.
Yeah, you know, it's you can do a little fun forensic work here in the summertime, but that Palma lift... up to the top of Poly, you know, it goes across, above Powder Keg and on the upper part of Slalom. But you can find every foundation. You can stop and look down there, and it's pretty cool. That was how we got over there. Yeah,
that was the only way to get over there, and that's why Radical to this day is one of my favorite runs.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I love that run. It's great pitch, and when it's got a lot of snow on it,
I've
made Tommy chase me down that a number of times.
I always
tell him, remember where that rock is.
That one rock. Yeah, always remember the one rock.
Do you hit it every time?
Every time, without fail.
I like hugging that right side against the trees on Radical. That's always a really good line.
Yeah. Yeah. The left side's not bad either.
But not bad either.
Just watch out for that rock.
Yeah. The rock. That's one rock. We have one rock at A Basin.
Yeah, that's it. The only one.
My dad always used to say, there's 100 inches of snow, but watch out for that 101-inch rock.
Yeah.
You know, my dad was from Silver Plume, you know.
I knew that.
So when I was up here as a kid, my dad was 5'1", and I've got his skis in my living room. They're 8 feet long, and they have a leather strap binding, you know, and he had these gigantic bamboo poles, you know, and he would hike.
Baskets.
He never rode the lift.
Yeah.
He'd always buy me a lift ticket, but he wouldn't ride the lift, and he had his ski boots came almost up to his knees, these lace-up leather, you know.
I can picture him.
Yeah. And they were joppers, you know, wool joppers, and a shearling coat, you know, and a cap. And so, and my friends would say, did you see that old dude ski?
That's my dad. Yeah, I've never seen that guy.
We'd be up here running gates, and they'd say, did you see that old guy on the side of the race course? He goes, man, he's got this weird, he would do this kind of step turn Nordic Telly sort of. I don't know how to describe it. You know,
it was kind of a step turn, part telly, because
those skis don't have edges.
No, they don't have edges. And there's not a whole lot of transfer of power from those boots through the bindings to the skis.
And you're not going to bend them much either.
<That's it.
laughs> Yeah, and there's absolutely no shape to them.
No,
not at
you
all.
Know, they're straight as an arrow.
Yeah.
But
there is one shape. They're rectangles.
Yeah, yeah, big blocks.
Yeah.
It's like skiing on 2x4s.
Yeah,
barrel slabs.
But you know, they still both have the little Northland sticker on them.
Yeah, right.
That's the coolest thing about them.
Yeah.
You can, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he took good care of them. And they still have clister wax on them.
All right.
You know, because he'd hike up.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, when I first skied A-Base when I was 3 years old, we were right here. And my brother and sister my brother would have been 13, my sister would have been 15. And they hiked me up. And now, they didn't make little kid skis back then. So
right.
I'm on the hand-me-downs. They had to put socks in the toe of the boot because my feet were too right. And then my mom would wrap my ankles with an ace bandage so that the boot, and I could still pull my foot out
How's
of the boot, right?
You scotch guarded your jeans, too.
You know, yeah, that's what they used to do.
Oh, yeah.
And so, well, then we wore cotton long underwear,
yep.
Right?
Oh,
right.
Wow. Waffle. Yeah, waffle.
And,
yeah.
And so they hiked me up. And then my sister went down and made tracks because there was no grooming or anything. And she made tracks in the snow. And then my brother put me in the tracks and let me go. And I just rolled down the windows, you know, go straight down.
Hooked from the start.
That's how it all started, man.
So what's your earliest memory for skiing?
You know, I started skiing in middle school. And I grew up in Tucson, believe it or not. And it was a middle school ski trip. We hopped on a Greyhound at like 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, and I went up to a place that's now called Apache Sunrise. And
oh yeah,
yeah. I went on the beginner hill. I didn't take a lesson. Didn't do any of that stuff.
Of course.
I just kind of figured it out.
Yeah.
Eventually took a lesson somewhere along the way, but it was a perfect bluebird day, and the snow was great. The memory of my first day is it's clear. It's great. It's nothing but a great memory.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I even remember back when I was like 3 because it was so cool.
Yeah.
Skiing was an adventure, and it was romantic almost.
Yeah.
I was telling Tom earlier that when I was telling him about the lifts and stuff, but there was a chateau-like looking thing. It was kind of an A-frame roof and it had a bell in it, and it said ski school, and they'd ring the bell in the morning.
Yeah.
Ding, ding,
yeah.
Ding, ding. And then ski instructors would ski down synchro, kind of showing off.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
And then this is Willie Scheffler days.
Yeah.
And then the instructors would come out with their skis over their right shoulder, in step, like military, right, in line. You know, you'd walk over and line everybody up, and then, you know, that was it was like a show.
Yeah, Willie was from Austria or Germany, one of the two.
But he's Austrian, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And, well, we were talking with Becky about the history of the ski and ride school, and we thought that you would know the first director and the history of the directors at ski and ride school.
You know, I you know, very early on, there was the Willie Scheffler Ski School.
I think Max was first.
Max was certainly around and engaged. Max was one of the original founders.
Max Sturcombe.
Yeah. So I don't know that Willie was the first, but Max was very involved with teaching from the beginning. And Willie had the ski school here for years and years and years. Yeah,
many years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember him really well.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the old lodge before it burnt down in the restaurant, the ski instructors had like a little raised platform where they would sit and eat, and they wouldn't sit with their students. The students would sit below them.
Hopefully our
and back in those days, everybody smoked, right?
Yeah. Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, everybody was smoking cigarettes and drinking wine for lunch and then going out.
Even when I started working here, everybody still smoked. And, you know, thank goodness that's over with.
Well, I played many gigs in the old Six Alley bar where everyone was smoking. You know.
Well, my wife was a bartender in there for years, and she would come home smelling.
Stinking
of smoke.
I would come back from gigs, and you'd have, you know, a cigarette hangover because you were singing in a room full of smoke, right?
Yeah, coughing.
You felt terrible. And your clothes, you couldn't wear your clothes again the next day because they just stank. You had to wash them.
A lot of people don't remember those days. Days of smoking, but you look at old TV shows or movies, and everybody's got a cigarette.
Oh, you know, there's an incredible picture of Larry and Marnie Jump on the wall over there. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
I love the picture. But you look closely down at his hand, and there's a cigarette in his fingers.
Uh-huh,
different time, different era.
Definitely.
You know, one of the other things I remember, my dad knew Max, because my dad was a local guy, you know, and so. And Max, I think, had one of my dad's paintings. And so he would take me down to the ski tip, which is now the ski tip, which was Durkham's house, actually.
Yeah.
And there would be guys playing jazz.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I think Max played the clarinet.
Yeah. Yeah. And his buddies, and they had a piano in there, and it was opera.
Yeah.
You know, it was like the first music opera thing, and really, really cool.
Yeah.
And those are good memories.
Wow, and see how far we've come with music and opera. It's kind of a tradition now.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite memories is my folks would bring me up and drop me off, you know, when I was 10, 12 years old, and I'd just go ski. And, you know, lift ticket was $1.25 for a kid, you know. So, and Edna knew me, and Edna Durkham. And she'd say, Leon, have you had lunch, sweetheart? No, Miss Edna. Oh, and she'd make me a sandwich.
Yeah. You know, Max was up here. It was a few years before he passed away. He lived to be almost 100.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can get the years exactly right, but it was just as we were doing Montezuma Bowl. And he was here for something else. We were celebrating something. But he got to talking, and, you know, we're doing this other meeting, and he asked me to go get all the plans for Montezuma Bowl. And here he is well in his 90s, and we're laying the plans out on the table, and he still knew all the terrain and was really familiar with it and was excited to see us doing those things.
What a great guy.
I think he had an amazing vision. And, you know, he created all of what Keystone is.
Well, that's why the A-frame's still here. Because it was only supposed to be here temporarily. And they were going to rebuild the lodge, but all the money went down valley to Keystone. And it's the whole reason the A-frame is still here. Because, we loved the old lodge. And so when that burned down and they put the A-frame in, we didn't like the A-frame.
Yeah.
Because that was a downgrade, you know.
Well, anything new, people don't like.
Yeah.
You know, now as we try and get rid of the A-frame, people are like, oh, God, you can't get rid of the A-frame.
And I'm just the opposite. It's like, you know, quit painting that pig.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned the old lodge a couple times. For people when they're here visiting, the top of the spiral stairs going up to the second floor, there's a bunch of photos of that old building, including the stories from when it burnt down and whatnot.
Well,
it was a beautiful building.
It was kind of Bavarian with a gingerbread.
Yep.
And what I remember is my dad had me read it in the newspaper, you know, the next morning. And it said, the loss is estimated to be $275,000. And that was, I couldn't even imagine that much money.
Yeah.
That was $250,000.
Yeah.
You can't buy a car for that.
No. You know, we have a couple of the newspaper stories framed it up there. There's one headline that shows always the importance of having a good PR person around, because the headline is, something to the effect of, despite total loss of the lodge, everyone had a great day skiing.
Even though the lodge was on fire, everybody was skiing.
Everybody had a great time skiing.
The conditions were awesome.
Oh, that's so crazy.
Sometimes that's all that matters.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Alan, I think at some point in your ski career, you taught skiing, didn't you?
I did teach skiing for one season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where was that?
At Keystone.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, mostly to kids, a few adults
I
in there.
I think we did a clinic together.
We might have. Yeah.
I think that's when I first met you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was like, and then you went to patrol.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because I knew you when you were a patroller.
Yeah.
But it was like, I think he was an instructor for a while.
Yeah. I did it for a little while.
Yeah.
No, I had a great time. I learned some good stuff. You know, I still use those skills because it's not uncommon to bump into someone on the hill that needs a hand getting down. And, you know, I probably don't do it with the most current language and terminologies and whatnot, but I'm like, okay, let's put your tips together. Press out with your heels, you know.
The easiest thing to say is just use counter-anticipational polarity with reverse lateral base to minimize your outward torsional thrust and anticipate the compound peripheral extrusion.
Right.
You'll be fine.
I streamline that a little
bit. And that's a left turn. Yeah. You know, if you want to go right, just do that in reverse.
Exactly.
Yeah. Just remember to centralize your occipital modulation using bipedalistic oscillationary flex tensions.
So you can finitiate your terrain ignorsion.
Right.
I'm impressed you can even buffalo that.
It's from Years of the Snow Show.
You know, I came up with that back when I was training instructors for all those years to make them know what they sound like.
When they taught technical,
and they all wanted to learn it. Some of them have memorized it. And I was skiing Copper last year, and a couple of instructors that, you know, when I was training director up there that came over, and they could recite the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's like, that was never the purpose. I mean, remember Weems Westfeld?
I do.
From Aspen?
Yeah.
Weems memorized it and did a video and gave him credit.
He wrote a book, too.
It was in his book, too.
Yeah.
It was in the Diamond Ski Theory, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I remember how I sat at his house during a Bronco game drinking beer and going through it until he memorized it. So.
I like it.
And it's expanded after that initial version.
It kept going.
Yeah.
It kept going. It kept getting added onto. And you helped with that, Tommy. We've got videos of it. Every now and then that video goes viral.
Yeah, right?
You know, it pops up and another 100,000 people have watched it. It's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, talk about the ski racing legacy and the history at Arapahoe Basin. I know there's been some great ski races in the past. Heck, I even raced in one of those back in the springtime. Oh, gosh, I forgot what year that was. But, I mean, there used to be a lot of ski racing going on here.
There did. You know, I think one of the most notable things are really early in at least U.S. ski world, I think it was 1953 GS Ski Championship, National GS Championships, and it was down Poly, and you look at, I've got the results sheet from that race that day, and it's like all the people in the early 50s that were the king, you know, the big wheels, the kingpins.
Yeah.
Like
Stein Erickson.
Ernie and Rhoda Blake from Taos were there.
Wow.
Of course, Max and Edna were skiing. I think Dave Gorsuch's name is on there, and a whole lot of prominent people, the people that were making the Colorado ski industry.
You know, Ernie Blake's son, Peter, is the same age as I am, and he's one of my favorite people in Taos. I still ski with him, and he's a cowboy. I mean, he's a real cowboy,
right.
Rodeo cowboy.
Oh, yeah.
Fun to ski with. Really great guy.
Hopefully he's not still doing that at your age.
No. He's all done with the rodeo stuff, but he's still skiing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Good guy.
Yeah.
Good guy. And you know, his mom lived to be 96 years old.
Oh, that's incredible.
Rhoda, and she smoked 3 packs a day. And he had her living in his house at Arroyo Seco. And when she passed away, he had to gut the place because of the cigarette
smell.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, you know, their restaurant at the base of their main lift there is Rodas.
Rodas, yeah. And the martini tree.
The martini tree.
Legendary.
Which still exists.
Yeah.
We just had, you know this guy, we just had Bert Skahl on the show.
Oh, I love Bert.
Yeah.
He worked here for a long time.
Yes. Yep, 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, he's now been at Taos longer than he was here. This is his 11th year at Taos.
Yeah, good for him.
He's done really well down there.
Yeah.
And,
we
always say Taos is just kind of like a big Stipe Basin.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Bert shared the legacy of the martini tree with us as well, too. So
he probably knows some insider secrets now.
I'm sure.
Yeah, and he probably learned it from Peter. As soon as Bert went down there, I took him down and introduced him to all my friends in Taos. Because, you know, my mom's from Taos.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
So that's where my family, most of my cousins live in Taos. And so we knew all those. And when you ski with Peter, he has the key to the secret Blake family martini tree. Because it's locked.
Yeah.
You know, so if you find it, you can't get in it.
Right.
And it's got a little lock on it. It's like a little birdhouse.
Yeah.
And it's got a pour on. You know what a pour on is? It's like a bottle, but it's got a spout that's an inverted cone. Right? And so then you just tip it up and pour it out.
It looks like a bong.
Right into your mouth.
It's a martini bong.
Right. Yeah. There you go.
So those are some fun stories. Yeah, Bert was up here we had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Bert's a good guy.
Yeah, real good guy.
Yeah.
And he just passed his certification, so he gets to be an examiner for 2 more years. So
all right.
And my response was, you fooled him again. And his reply was, the art of deception. One of the best skiers you ever skied.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
without
absolutely.
Question.
Fast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fast.
Dogger and I were chasing Bert one day, and Dogger's a great skier. And so it was Bert, Dogger, and then me. And then about the third to the last turn, I just blew out. I rodeoed my skis between two moguls and went straight up in the air. And Dogger stops and goes, Jesus, Lee, Bert skis fast. he sure does. I've spent many a day on the gas pedal trying to keep up with Bert.
I tell him to slow down, but I can't catch him to tell him.
Yeah, because he's already gone.
I'll tell him next time.
Yeah.
Well, the season's winding down here at Arapahoe Basin, and that doesn't mean everything's over for you. I mean, you're just kind of making the transition into another big season.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, for the team here, for a senior team in particular, you know, it never really slows down. We're maybe not skiing all the time, but we'll do some summer business. We got a lot of planning stuff going on. And,
you've got great summer stuff going on.
Yeah. A little summer business, he says. It's like, no, this place goes off in the summertime. Jeez.
Now, you know, it does. We got a great place for weddings at Black Mountain Lodge. We have a really cool Via Ferrata for adventurous folks. We got this great aerial adventure park that's fun.
We want to do the aerial adventure
you gotta
park.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
You guys got to come do that.
Yeah.
And then we got great trails for hiking and biking and you know, as good as they get. So,
Tommy's got a new electric mountain bike, so so he'll be up here.
Oh yeah, riding the trails, doing the downhills, taking it nice and easy, going uphill with some
electric
assistance.
Power. I still say it's cheating, but that's all right.
Right.
I'm old school. Everything.
Cheating. Hey, unless you're out on a unicycle, you can't accuse anybody of cheating.
Yeah,
that's true.
I don't have an e-bike yet.
Yeah.
They're expensive.
They are.
Hey, speaking of unicycles, you know they make electric unicycles now?
Oh, no.
Yeah. You're standing on the wheel of these things.
Class 1, 2, and 3?
Probably. They can go up to 50 miles an hour on these things.
That is not a good idea.
No. It's like, oh, that's a whole new way to hurt yourself really bad. You won't see me on
one of those.
You wear
full body armor?
Yeah, but hope so.
Oh, man.
Yeah, very dangerous. But you'll probably start seeing those around some of the trails just because they're becoming a little more evident.
I've seen unicycles when I've been out Mountain biking.
Now the electric ones will be hitting.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah, they're going over jumps with these things. I mean, they're just, taking it to a whole new level.
You might be spending too much time on YouTube, Tom.
That could be, too.
I actually got up on a unicycle once and rode it for about 20 yards.
Did you?
Yeah. Before I crashed.
And I've been watching YouTube for rafting videos.
Yeah.
Just making that transition.
It's going to be an interesting season for you raft dudes.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Do you have any trips planned at all?
I think I'm going to head up to Idaho.
Nice.
In June, maybe.
Maine salmon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good trip.
Hopefully there'll be some water out there.
Yeah. They have some water.
Yeah, so. They do. Definitely.
Well, Alan, thank you so much for being on the show. It's always great to see you, man. And I wish we would have been able to get out and make some turns. We saw you at the World Cup races.
Yeah, I was over there. I watched Michaela win that slalom.
Yeah.
She is so amazing.
You know that I actually skied with Michaela here?
I did not know that.
10 years ago, she was here with her mom, Eileen. She was 21 then.
Yeah.
And she was just having lunch at Black Mountain. And I was with Dan Houston from Loveland and Bill McGinty from Ski Cooper.
Yeah.
You know, when the ski school directors get, after their, they come and get a clinic from me. So I was skiing with those guys, and there she was having lunch, and we started chatting, and I told her, because that's when I had been in the hospital that year.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, you come back from injury, and then you won that first race by 2 seconds, and you inspired me so much to get well, and I want to thank you because that was really a big boost for me to get well and get back on my skis. And she said, well, why were you in the hospital? I said, oh, I had pneumonia and leukemia. She goes, no one's ever told me that I inspired them to get over leukemia before. I said, well, now they have. She goes, let's go ski.
Yeah.
So I got to make a run.
All right.
And I stood on the gas pedal the whole time, Alan.
Yeah.
And she just moved away from me.
Yeah.
She was...
Well, she's performing at a different level.
She's only the best skier that's ever lived.
Yeah. And she, you know, what a great...
And a good kid.
What a great person for our sport.
Really.
What a great person.
Couldn't be better.
Sport. Yeah.
And when she and Kilda start having kids, you know, it'll be like Ryan Cochran Siegel. It'll be Mickey Schifrin.
Many generations
Kilda,
to
right?
come.
Yeah. It'll be like maybe the only one that breaks his mom's record. You know?
Right. Yeah. Or decides to do something else totally away from skiing.
Right. Yeah.
Never know.
A rock star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be.
You know their name will be Schifrin Kilda.
Yeah, there you go.
Right? You know, that hyphenated last name.
Well, by golly, we're going to be back here again for opening day for hopefully next October.
Yep.
This coming October.
That's not that far away.
No, it isn't. It's just a very brief break in your schedule.
Literally, I had a budget meeting this day where we started talking about which day are we going to open.
Really?
Yeah.
Already looking to next year.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, A-Basin, you know, has one of the longest seasons in North America, usually the first to open.
Yeah.
And then there's that rumors of the Super El Nino.
Oh, yeah.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
That would be great.
It's going to be a great season.
Wouldn't it be great if next year we just had the opposite records?
Yeah.
Most snow we've ever had.
It's time.
Opening day is going to be moved to September because there will be so much snow.
I like the way you think.
If he could only back it up.
Yeah, well. Yeah. My nature, she's listening.
Yeah.
Well, Alan, I'm sure we'll see you up here for a couple more days of skiing before
you
it's
betcha.
All over. So.
Yeah, I'm around. You guys know where to find me.
We'll come grab you and get you in the proper shoes.
I like it.
And go out and slide on the mountain.
Sounds good. Hey, thanks for including me.
Just like we say on the snow show, it's called skiing, not standing.
All right.
Here's a flashback to the original Crystal 93 Snow Show.
Tom Freaky and Leah Littlebird, the Snow Show on Crystal 93.
Tommy, when we come to A-Basin, we always find someone from ski schools. You know, the snow sports school up here really rocks, man. They hit it out of the park.
And today we got the upgrade.
We got the class act of all times, Leslie Walker. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, guys. It's great to be here.
It's great to be at A-Basin. We love hanging out at the legend, especially with the snow sports school, finding out all the cool things they're offering to people who want to take their skills to a whole new level.
Well, I know the energy in the snow sports school has been really high all year. Everybody's really ready to go out there and give some great great experiences, and you've got some really cool products to go with that.
Oh, absolutely, we do. So first of all, just so you guys know, we don't work here at Arapahoe.
Yeah, we play. That's right.
We have so much fun up here. I mean, sharing our passion about skiing and snowboarding with everybody who comes up here to take lessons with us is really what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
So this Christmas, we're just excited to have all of our guests, locals, out of town, Front Rangers, everybody come up and see us. We have some great specials. We have 4 lessons for you, which is a discounted package. It's transferable. It's 4 lessons, either half day or full day for kids or adults. Get on our website, arapahoebasin.com. You can find out a little bit more.
So that's 4 lessons that, like, anybody can use, though,
transferable.
Right?
So I could use 2 and then give the other 2 to Leon.
Yes.
Wow,
yeah.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Because I need at least 2 lessons.
At least.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you're looking for a last-minute birthday or Christmas gift or holiday gift for
or
somebody
if you're born
in your
around
life,
Christmas.
Or Christmas
sure.
gift,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
birthday
right.
gift.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Whatever. Whatever you
what
want
a great
it to
gift
be.
That would be, yeah.
It would be so much
especially
fun.
To give to a family because
yes.
the whole family could use it. Or they could use it any way they want. That's
you
a
can.
Really great idea. 4 for you.
4 for you.
For you.
Now, Leslie, if we want to get those in time for Christmas, how do we do it?
ArapahoeBasin.com. And everything about our snow sports school is on our website. All the information, all the details, all the fine print,
I'll
everything.
Bet you could even find out about Kids Club.
You could find out about Kids Club,
whoa.
Too, which starts January 11th. So,
yeah.
Front Rangers, locals, don't miss out. January 11th, either 4 Saturdays in a row or 8 Saturdays in a row.
Yeah.
We have Kids Club for grade schoolers, we have Little Kids Club for preschoolers, and we have Extreme Teen for middle schoolers. So,
well, and it fills up fast.
It so is filling up filling, really,
it's
really fast.
There's not a lot of room left, so get on there. I'll tell you, you know, the cool thing is the kids grow up just like little Lily, being able to say, I learned to ski at A Basin,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bragging rights.
Yes, yes. We can't wait to see all of your kids and then even get my little one out there here
yeah.
soon. So.
And pretty soon the kids will start saying, it's called skiing, not standing.
It's called skiing, not standing. So let's get out there.
Come on, you got the right boots on. Let's go rip.
I do.
All right.
Let's go.
Ready?
Woo-hoo.
The Crystal 93 Snow Show.